Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Ovik Roy is here. Ovik is a great member of our Brain Trust, has been now for a handful of years. He's the founder of Roy Healthcare Research. He's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Full disclosure, he's currently advising Florida Senator Marco Rubio on policy and his quest for the presidency, and he's the author of a number of books on the healthcare issue, and he's here to talk to us about what's going on with Obamacare. Ovik Roy, welcome back to the show.
Welcome. Good morning, Jim. Welcome from hello from sunny Austin.
There you go. Welcome back, Ovik. I'm glad you're here. So, a lot of chickens, a lot of Obamacare chickens are coming home to roost. For so many years, we just had the specter of Obamacare. And then as certain elements of it started to come down and to become effective, and it was clear that it was creating problems, a lot of them got pushed off and pushed off and pushed off. And then, of course, some of the parts of Obamacare kind of fell to the side. And it's not even just a fraction of what it used to be. But today, in 2016... most of the chickens that we don't like about Obamacare are coming to roost, aren't they?
Yeah, it's funny because it's a 2,000-page bill and all that, but at the end of the day, what Obamacare does is relatively simple. It introduces this gigantic new layer of regulations into the healthcare system, and regulations drive up costs, as all of your listeners know. You can't force insurers to do all these new things and give away all these goodies and not have that come back down to consumers in the form of higher prices.
And when you talk about regulations, that's another word for mandates, right?
Oh yeah, mandates, regulations, the whole thing.
See, we don't like regulations, but when we think about regulations, we think about that being something that'll get to us eventually, or maybe we'll miss it. But mandates sounds like something that's going to affect us right now.
Well, they're both in there, right? There are mandates and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
There are mandates, as you know, as your listeners know, that require businesses of a certain size to offer health insurance to their workers. And the problem is the type of insurance. Once you say to people, okay, you have to buy health insurance for your workers, the federal government then has to define, okay, what does that mean? What counts as insurance? And so then the federal government has to issue 10,000 pages of regulations to define what insurance is.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when the federal government does that, they're going to define it in a way that says, well, insurance is only insurance if it covers this and covers that and covers this and covers that and covers this and covers this and has this kind of financial structure. And all of that, of course, is designed to, be as popular as possible to the quote-unquote worker. But the end result is it costs an enormous amount of money.
That's right. Mandates by government fiat, which was what we've got here, with regard to guaranteed insurability, having certain kinds of coverage, whether you need it or not, has to be in the policy, insuring young people all the way to 26 on their parents' policies. All of those things sound nice, and if you need it, God bless you, the guaranteed insurability part, more power to you. But the bottom line is, irrespective of whether you like it or not, it costs money. Somebody has to pay for that, and it either comes from somewhere or it comes out of something, doesn't it?
Think of if every restaurant was forced by the federal government to offer only food that was non-GMO and organic.
Right.
Whether you like that or not, it would make all restaurants more expensive.
That's right.
And less accessible to the average person. If you forced every car to have a hybrid engine, even if you like hybrid engines, hybrid engines are more expensive than traditional
engines.
The cars would be more expensive.
Let's talk for a minute about what you think the Obamacare has done to the economy. I was using the example before you got here of how there are people out there who are trying to grow their businesses, they're trying to get out of being just a sort of a Main Street small business and become a little bit bigger, maybe grow to 50 or more employees, and therefore have to acquire better talent, and they're going to have to start offering better benefits. Obamacare has pushed that, has caused that to cost them a lot more money. That's one example, in my opinion, that how Obamacare has hurt Main Street small businesses. Can you think of others?
Well, yes. I mean, there's so many. I've written a lot about this at my column at Forbes, about all the different ways in which health insurance will cost more money. So one thing you and I were talking about on the break is the under 26 mandate. So
yes.
Now all insurance plans have to cover, quote-unquote, adult children up to the age of 26. I didn't know that I'd been a child up to the age of 26 when I was in my 20s, but that's great if you're one of the families that is going to benefit from that, but it's effectively a tax on everyone else. So mm-hmm. if you have a child who's 27, you're paying a lot more in health insurance premiums. So
right.
And we now know
what that number is, too, don't we, what that cost is for each one of us.
Well, I mean, there are different estimates out there. I think the estimate that came out the other day was something like $1,200 per employee per month.
Yeah.
Or per year, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's any time you force insurance products to cover a bunch of extra things, it costs more money. So that's one example.
Yeah.
There are all these now federal mandates as to what insurance plans have to cover. That also drives up the cost of insurance quite a bit. There's the individual mandate. So the fact that individuals are now forced to buy insurance mm-hmm. or pay a fine, that drives up costs for employers too. Because in the old days, what would happen is if you were a business, small business, let's say you had 50 employees, you might offer insurance to all of them, but maybe only 30 of them take the offer mm-hmm. because 20 of them just felt that because the premiums were high or they had a better
option. Or they didn't need it. So they got it somewhere else.
Yeah, because they were married and their mm-hmm. spouse had insurance through their other employer. There are lots of different things that happen. So not everyone would actually take up the insurance.
Right.
But now people are actually required
everybody
to sign up, which drives up the cost for your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question about it. And here's the other thing, over because we go to the break. It'd be a little bit different if it actually helped people to have Obamacare to be part of their lives. But in my my family's case, Ovik, our coverage has come down, our premiums have gone up, our deductibility has gone up, and our availability of services has diminished. So Obamacare has hurt my company and my family in a number of different ways. 20 after, right back with Ovik Roy. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.